they design a shirt that you can see through. Okay? So that you're going to find something from them. That originates that dream around. If, well, maybe later you will see my son and he's wearing the one of the Kenya clothes, the pineapple fiber clothes, and you can just see through his shirt. Okay? So that's the origin of our national shirt. It's called Barong. And yeah, I think that's how our national shirt originated. Well, it's kind of not so thick because the weather in the Philippines is hot. Our average temperature there is in the mid-80s to mid-90s. That's the average. And I think for you, it's quite a challenge to have that kind of weather. And it's so very humid there in the Philippines. That's why this coming September 13th, we will be going back to the Philippines just to stay winter. I cannot, you know, I cannot just tolerate cold weather, especially Michigan winters.
Now, I would like to share a passage from the scriptures found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we will use this as our text for what we will be talking this morning. I would like to share to you the ministry that God has given to us, and at the same time, this will serve as a challenge to you, especially with regards to prayer, how to pray for us intelligently. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. The Word of God says, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Ephesians chapter 4, 11, 12, and 13. Somebody said something like this: God established specific offices in the church for the sake of oversight and leadership. Leadership is not reserved exclusively for these positions, referring to Ephesians 4, 11, 12, and 13, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, but it often gets carried out through them. These offices are not meant to corner or monopolize the market on ministry, but rather to equip God's people to minister. Now, before we proceed, there are at least three gifts mentioned clearly in the scriptures in relation to the church. Number one, in Ephesians 4, 11, 12, we have here the office gifts. And then in Romans 12, 6 to 8, we have there the serving gifts. And then the last one here, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 8 to 11, we have here the charismatic gifts, charismata. And in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we have here the office gifts. These are the persons who were called by God to assume a specific task. We have here the apostles. They are responsible of laying the foundation of the church. What about the prophets? Responsible for the communication of the Word of God. What about the evangelists? Proclamation of the gospel message. And what about the pastor teachers? Responsible for the nurture and welfare of the church or the believers. Now, these persons are ordained leadership inside the church, and they are there for a purpose.
Now, I have here on our screen surfer. Well, in the Philippines, we don't surf there. We don't have that kind of waves. But it is interesting to note that the surfer doesn't create waves. He only what? Ride the waves. Meaning to say, he just wait for the right wave to come and then ride it. And I do believe that it's also the same with the ministry that God has given us. We don't create ministries. Rather, we wait for God's leading for us, giving us the opportunity, and then we can minister to Him. Now, in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we have here the Lord Jesus Christ, the founder, the source of the church, the universal body of Christ. He gave to the church what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers.
Thank you. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, the word they're perfecting is a very interesting word. The same word used in Mark chapter 1, verse 19. And we have there the apostles, the fishermen, mending their nets. The word they're perfecting also means to mend. The same word in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, to restore. Why do we mend nets? That's because maybe they're ruined or they have a tear. And in this particular passage, God uses the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers for what purpose? To mend our lives. For what purpose? That we might catch fishes, just like the nets. So we have here the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. They are there. God gave this to us. The religious Christ gave this to us for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, to equip the saints, to mend the saints, to restore the saints. Unto what? For the work of the ministry. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastor teachers are not the only ministers inside the church. We are all ministers. We are all ministers. We are called to serve. We, each one of us, has a unique ministry inside the body of Christ. And that is the immediate goal. Why these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers equip us for the work of the ministry. So that we will do the ministry. We will do the serving. Maybe it's not very rampant here in the U.S., but in the Philippines, we tend to divide our religious circle into two. The clergy and the laity. The laity should be the one responsible in sitting inside the church, filling up the church. And then the clergy, they're responsible in what? In preaching the word. And sometimes it's not really preaching, it's entertaining them. But you know what? It's interesting to note that in the scriptures, everybody, every member of the body of Christ has a ministry to assume. That's why we have here these office gifts, preparing us, training us, encouraging us, molding us, perfecting us, equipping us. For what purpose? That we might serve. And that is the immediate goal. What is the ultimate goal? The edifying of the body of Christ. The growth of the body of Christ. The multiplication of the body of Christ. The maturity of the body of Christ. There is no way for a believer to grow than to serve. That's why if the local church will do what Ephesians 4, 11, 12, and 13 commands us to do, then the church will live up to its name. The church will perform its enriched ministry. By that we mean the edification, strengthening the fellow members. And then, it will also perform the outreach ministry, evangelism, reaching out the lost, reaching out others outside of the fold for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, with this in mind, I do hope that this will challenge us to perform, to do the task that God has entrusted to us. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a church worker, a deacon, a member of this church, a junior, a youth, we are all part of the body of Christ and we have a ministry to accomplish. And I would like to share to you the ministry of Christ for the Philippines. I would like to introduce myself first. I am Neil Vilches, and I'm a second-term missionary. Before joining Christ for the Philippines, I've been a pastor in the Philippines for 13 years. And in 2007, I was given the privilege to come over here to your country and to finish my post-grad studies. And 2009, I went back to the Philippines for our first term as missionaries of Christ for the Philippines. And this 4th of July, I returned. I came back here for our furlough. And this coming September 13th, I will be leaving together with my family for a second term as missionaries. And this is my wife, Joy. She is the youngest and the most beautiful daughter of Pert and Mel Alfaraki. And I praise God for a very caring, understanding, and virtuous wife. And indeed, the Lord really blessed our family. We have two children, Hanil and Naomi, and they will be singing here during a worship service. And this is our harvest field, the Philippines. Philippines is named after King Philip of Spain. According to our history, it was Magellan who discovered us. And because it was Magellan who discovered us, he named our nation Philippines from King Philip, who happens to be his sponsor. He's the one who sponsored his voyage. And we're located in the Southeast Asia. And our land area is 115,831 square miles, twice of Michigan. So, double of Michigan. And we are an archipelago composed of 7,107 islands. That is during low tide. Okay? Lesser during high tide. Because some of our islands submerged during high tide. And so, yeah, we have a lot of beaches there. It's a tropical country. Our population, 90 million. 10 times that of Michigan. Michigan is only 9 million. And to think of that, we are twice the size of Michigan, but 10 times the population. That's how dense we are in the Philippines. And it's interesting that 65 to 70% of our population is considered to be youth. Well, in the Philippines, if you're 40 under, you're still youth. Okay? I think here in the U.S., it's like 30, 25 maybe. Yeah, 40 years old and below. So more or less, we are a very young nation. When it comes to age. And 10% of our population is considered as OFWs, or the Overseas Filipino Workers, because of the unemployment rate in the Philippines. most of our Filipino skilled workers tend to work abroad. And 10% of that work abroad. These are nurses. These are teachers. These are doctors. These are engineers, welders, carpenters, domestic helpers. About 9 to 10 million. They go out from the Philippines and work for 2 to 4 years and then return again to the Philippines for 2 to 3 months and then go back again and work. And because of this, there are a lot of challenges that we are facing right now. I'll share that to you later. But the point is, with these OFWs, we consider them as modern-day heroes. I think that was 2003-2004 that we experienced what we call the Asian economic crisis. And most of our Asian neighbors experienced this economic crisis. But because of our OFWs, they are dollar earners. They tend to stabilize our economy. So we also thank them for that. On the other hand, it also affected the Filipino family. So, and then this is just the contrast of our society. We belong to a developing country, but we can categorize ourselves as the third world country. So, in your left here, this is the concrete, our concrete jungle. Okay, that's one of the major cities in the Philippines. That's in Makati, Makati City. And on the right side here, these are the squatters. These are the people who don't have any lot or land to live, and so they squat. Here in the U.S., if you live along the lake or in the river, you're rich. But in the Philippines, the opposite. It's the ones that are less fortunate. And there's a great disparity between the very, very rich and the very, very poor. Now, we have here a picture of maybe the parents of this child work as garbage collectors. And below is one of our former first ladies. If you can still remember, this is the person who have a 3,000 pair of shoes. So that's the contrast there. And we have one national language, but we have 84 different dialects. That's because we are separated by islands. And if you visit one island from another island, their dialects change. And one good thing is that we have four major dialects. And one of my dialects, our dialect is one of the four major dialects there. The Ilonggo, or sometimes we call that Hiligaynon. And so, religion, 80% of our population is considered to be Roman Catholics. That's why we considered ourselves as the only Christian nation in the Southeast. Christian in a sense that we're not Muslims, we're not Buddhists, we're not pagans. We are Roman Catholics, so we're Christians. The only Christian nation in the Southeast. 5% Muslim. And then the 3%, the Iglesia ni Cristo. Iglesia ni Cristo is a cult there. It denies the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ is a plain man, nothing else. And then the Agrippinian Church, that's the Protestant Church, the the Filipino Protestant Church. They were the ones who protested against the friars, Spanish friars, during the Spanish occupation. And then the 3%, that's where we belong, the evangelical Christians. Only 3%. Okay, yeah. The Aglipayan is like a Roman Catholic. They embrace Roman Catholicism. The difference is they don't wear robes, and their priests can marry. But again, they believe in good works. They believe in masses. They believe in sacraments. That, you know, you can earn your way to heaven. And well, it's clear in the scriptures that it is only by the grace of God that we receive salvation. So that's the difference there. Yeah, with regards to the mass media, 14% of the Filipino uses magazines to be informed. 30% newspaper, 57% television, and 80% uses radio. And that's one of the primary reasons why we use the airwaves, because a lot of Filipinos still uses the radio. Well, we have computers there, but it doesn't reach the rural areas, only the urban areas. Well, one of the students a teenager that I met last time, he asked me, "Is there a McDonald's there in the Philippines?" I told him that, well, in my city, the city where I'm working, we have 5 McDonald's outlets there. So the American business is quite booming there also in the Philippines. And usually it's the middle class and the upper class that visits those places. And our McDonald's there offers rice. Yours here, it's only like buns and, you know. Well, I think that's because we Filipinos eat rice a lot. It's, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, the challenges. Number one, youth. For the Filipino young people, education is a must. Why? That's their ticket from poverty. To be a nurse, to be a teacher, to be a doctor, to be an engineer is your ticket from poverty. So they really strive hard to have education and to have a bachelor's degree. And sometimes it's common for us there for a nurse to be a sales lady in one of a big department store there because of the unemployment. And they're still maybe waiting for their working visa to come. So the youth, they're very determined to have education. And at the same time, these are also the prime movers of our society. Our present president right now was voted because he garnered a lot of votes from this youth. Number two, we have the OFW families. A lot of families in the Philippines have no either mother or father because one of their parents is outside the Philippines working abroad. And the sad thing is this. Here is a man, a father, with 2 children, 3 children, he is left alone to take care of these children. And sometimes extramarital affairs are very rampant. Problematic children, they have a lot of money, but no parental guidance. So that's also a challenge there in the Philippines and also for the Philippine church. Number three, poverty. 30 to 40% of Filipino families earn less than $2 a day. So that's how rampant poverty is in the Philippines. And then, the fourth one here, religious suppression. Especially in the southern part, there are a lot of religious suppression right now. You cannot just share the gospel. You cannot just pass out tracts. And if ever you leave your Roman Catholic faith, you will be suffering a lot of consequences with that decision. So, by leaving your mother faith, you're actually leaving your clan. So that's sometimes the struggle there. Now, I would like to share to you the ministry that we started. For the past 30 years, the Lord blessed Christ for the Philippines to establish 11 local churches. 8 of those are self-supporting. And I happened to participate in one of the pioneering work there. We started that pioneering work last 2010, that is in Kaluya Islands. And we have here the evangelism team, the man that's third from the right, and his wife. They are optometrists, and one way of connecting with the community is to offer free medical, dental, and optical missions. And by that, we can establish a connection with the community. So they joined us during the trip. And this island is classified as sixth class municipality, meaning to say the poorest of the poor municipality, the sixth class municipality. And yes, most of the people there are fishermen, and some of them are seaweed gatherers. They gather seaweeds from the shore and then clean it and then dry it, and then they will sell it to people. We call them as middlemen, and then this middleman will sell it to big companies in Manila, in our capital city, and then the company will export that to Japan for plastics and paint materials. It is a fishing community, and there are three available transportation there. Water buffalo. Can you see the water buffalo? Okay. And then by walking, and then the tricycle. It's a motorcycle with a sidecar. The Japanese designed that for 3 persons. But you know what? Here? 10 up to 14 people can, you know, just cram inside and ride that motorcycle. And here are the students, the only high school in the island. And one of the ways for our pastor there to connect with the students, he's a good barber. So what he did was, he offers free haircuts to the high school students. And then he charged 10 pesos to adults. 10 pesos, it's like
1 is to 40, that's a quarter. Yeah, 25 cents for a haircut. Well, one haircut here in the U.S. is equals to a year's haircut there in the Philippines. So that's how expensive haircut here in the U.S. So he was able to connect with these young people, with these students, by offering free haircuts. And then, ultimately, he was able to ask permission, to obtain permission from the principal to have a religious instruction. It's like a values formation class to this high school student. And then, yes, we establish relationships with them through, number one, radio broadcasting. Before we proceed, before we open, before we went to the place, we broadcast our program for 6 to 8 months. And we praise the Lord that after 6 to 8 months, there are at least 3 families who responded to the gospel message. And after that 6 to 8 months, we went to that place and then started the work there. And then, second, courtesy visits to the leaders. There is what we call a great disparity between the rich and the poor. That island is controlled by 2 dominant or prominent families. And so you need to create relationships with them before entering that island, because that's their territory. As long as they don't perceive you as a threat, they will allow you to come in. And then the third one, free community services, such as medical, dental, and optical. So we have here the evangelism team, 2011. If you notice, we have tents inside the classroom. That's to keep out the bugs during our evangelism campaign. And then, here's the church building construction. We were able to rent a lot there, a 250 square meter lot, and then we started a church building. And this is a half-finished worship building. At the back of that will be the quarters of our pioneering pastor. And then this is his wife teaching vacation Bible school. That's their first vacation Bible school. That was during May. And Pastor Pano, now we are leaving for the main island. Now we have here our ministry goal for the second term. And I do hope that you will pray for us. Number one, design systematic follow-up program for radio listeners. We believe that the ultimate goal of our radio program, radio broadcasting ministry, is to plant a church. So, with that in mind, what we do usually is we ask responses from the listeners. And if they write us a letter or text us or call us, we will visit them and encourage them to have Bible studies. And if the Lord will give us the opportunity to gather a group, then we will start a church. So some of those, or most of those 11 churches, started with that kind of approach. Number two, to pioneer a new church plant through partnership with local churches. We believe in ministry partnership. We partner with some local churches there. One local church cannot pioneer, cannot sponsor a church planting ministry. But for pooling their resources, we can start one new church plant. So ministry partnership. And then, design workable curriculum for our pastor's enrichment class. We have pastors there, but their seminary training is not enough. So we have what we call a progressive pastor's enrichment classes every other month. And I'm the one who preside over that. We do some church management, like finances, church organization, church administration, church discipline, and things like that. So the next one is establish 2 lending libraries and 1 children's resource center. Most of our pastors cannot go to our city to visit our library. So what we do is we bring the library to them. It's not really a big library. It's like a 500 to 1,000 volume library. We place it in one of our church there, and then they will have an easy access to come over. They will be paying a minimal fare to come over there and then to study and maybe to borrow books. And then we have our Children's Resource Center. We have kindergarten ministries there also. So with this Children's Resource Center, they were able to gather resources, teaching aids, materials, and visuals. And it really helped a lot with their teaching ministry. So again, before I end, in behalf of Christ for the Philippines, I would like to thank you for giving us the privilege to share the ministry that God has given to us. And I do hope that through our short time, you now see the big picture of God, of what God is doing in the ministry there in the Philippines. So thank you very much. And do you have any questions before we end? Is there some clarification or questions? Yes. If this is the globe, this is Michigan, this is the U.S., we are directly opposite of the U.S. We are 12 hours advanced. So right now it's 10:30 in the evening in the Philippines. So, yes, that's we are directly opposite. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, ma'am, we are it maybe. Very near the equator. We are a tropical country. We grow bananas, mangoes, avocados, rice. We're neighbors of Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, China. But well, China is in the northern part. Yeah, and like Japan. But yeah, we are like in the equator. Yes, usually because we are islands, fish is we prefer fish than meat because meat is more expensive than fish, and most of our people there are farmers, especially in the rural areas, and they have small plots that they can just grow rice there, and usually we depend upon the rain. We don't have proper irrigations like you have here. Okay.